Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad double with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, not a bad tape, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Pharrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny made it up the stairs tonight to crash. Maybe that's because she was snapping tubes of Fatso OG first in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, to bread to traffic, some kind of fashion show, get up, should do. But all my friends that come around, flat to flat to party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown. What a mess, the town's a tad of my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shaking. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Pharrell. Mafia's running it. And there's a lot going on tonight. We'll get into all the scores and everything. And there's even college football. UAB's kicking Jacksonville State's ass 24-0 in the third with a minute and a half left in a terrible college football game. Somehow they put on ESPN or whatever. Anyway, I can't even believe, Mafia, the storm that's going on right now in New York City. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this thing, we're getting hit with Ida. And first of all, it's amazing to me that every hurricane that hits this country ends up in New York. I mean, that is inexplicable to me. You can't even define how that happens to me and us, everyone, how it happens. Like every single storm, I don't care where it hits, every storm. Like, have you ever noticed storms that start in Seattle end up in New York? Storms that start in the Gulf Coast end up in New York. On the, you know, east side of Florida, down in Miami, they end up in New York. And then they hit Boston too. We had Henri blow through here, whatever, 10 days ago, whatever it was. And now Ida is hitting. I mean, like, today it was like just raining, normal rain, no problem. I mean, a lot of normal rain, nothing major. But boy, tonight it is just crazy. I mean, it is absolutely violent outside. It is gushing. And I mean, the thunder and lightning and the wind, and I mean, everything is happening. It is crazy. And I mean, there's an over under on whether or not I'll get through this show. I mean, honestly, with, you know, my setup here in the Pharrell Palatial, right? Like, I mean, if I lose power, I'm screwed. I mean, it's like, boom, over. If you lose power, boom, it's over. I mean, right? Because you run it, and I'm over here doing it. Either one of us loses power, we're screwed, aren't we? I mean, is it just raging at your crib?
You have, you know, there's flood warnings all over till like middle of the night. There's roads that are by me that are flooded out. My wife was driving home, and she was on the phone with me around like 7 o'clock Eastern. She was coming home, 7:30. And she's like, you know, wondering if she should take these because we're right up against the river here that runs, you know, all the way down the state. I'm like, no, it should be fine now. It just started raining. She got by there. We've looked at Facebook like an hour later, like the town group, and everyone's like, yeah, there's flooding all over here. You can't go anywhere. Don't bother. She must just got past it before the thing overflowed and flooded everything out.
It is crazy here. I mean, it's just insanity. I don't understand how, I mean, we just had one. And then now we got another one. I mean, we've had two hurricanes in 10 days. I mean, what is going on where we get pelted with this stuff? Like, you can't even explain it to me. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Sirius XM, Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on about just plow through in 10 days. Two of them. Not one, two. And Henri was, you know, it poured down rain for whatever, 2 days. And I mean, I don't even know, was it longer than 2 days? But it just poured here for like 2 or 3 days. And then it really wasn't that big of a deal in terms of hurricane winds or anything like that. It was just pouring, flooding rain. And then this one, the Ida, is way worse, and it's way more intense. It's got everything. It's just absolutely pouring Noah's Ark flooding, and the wind and lightning and thunder and trees bending and snapping and breaking limbs and everything else. It's all happening. And I'm like sitting here, like I heard something hit my crib bad, right? Like I heard something just smash into my crib. And I don't know what it is because I can't even go outside. It's so bad out and so crazy, so lightning, so driving rain, so windy. I just can't even go outside.
There's listening to Sports Grid, then there's
listening to Sports Grid.
You know you're doing it right when friends ask you about the week's matchups, the wife is happy, and your teenager regards you with quiet awe.
Here's your slippers, Dad.
Keep listening
to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, for all in events, so they've just issued, all night they've had these flash flood emergency issued, like, notifications for everybody. In New York City, first time they've ever had one. They didn't even have one for Sandy, if you can believe it, Hurricane Sandy, back in the day, which was really the worst one that's ever hit here. And then, I mean, it's like we've topped that now. I mean, we just, it's just, this one's just brutal. They got 3 inches of rain in Central Park in an hour. And I mean, New Jersey's a state of emergency already at, you know, a little past 10 o'clock at night on, you know, the governor's call. So there's just flooding everywhere. It's crazy. I mean, if you're out in a car right now or whatever, driving around, I'm sure that there's, you know, do you remember the day that I went to the Meadowlands and the flooding was so bad over by that, you know, Teterboro and that, you know, Meadowlands area? Like, the roads were so flooded. I have pictures. I mean, it was up to your car windows. They don't, the sewers can't handle it. They can't handle the flooding. And these highways can't handle it. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen. It just, everything floods out. Then you're hydroplaning the entire way when you're driving. It's dangerous as all hell. And, I mean, how many hurricanes can we handle in a row hitting here before, like, the world ends? I mean, it's just, I'm just sitting here, like, before when I heard this thing crash into my crib, I tried to go out and see what it was, like, thinking it was this giant tree. Maybe it is. I don't even know. It's so bad that I can't go look at it. I can't go outside. You'll die. I mean, it is raging. I mean, I'm talking, it is just absolutely sideways rain. And I'm talking, like, gushing. I'm not, it's like, you know, the water coming in on the Titanic. I mean, it is gushing and you can't even go out in it. Like, I can't even let my dog out to go, you know, to the bathroom. The dog, I don't even think the dog's gone out in like 6 hours, 7 hours, because you can't even go outside. It's that bad. And, you know, they're warning people, don't go out, don't do this, don't do that. I can't even believe, knock on wood, that we have power. That's beyond me. I can't explain it, because like my house is going to blow away. I mean, I'm literally tripping watching this storm. Later, we're going to have Harp on, John Harper of SNY. I can't wait to talk to him about Zach Scott. Is that his name, Mafia, the guy that got the Dewey?
Yes, the soon-to-be former intern GM of the Mets, yes.
Yeah, that's not going to go well for him. The interim tag will be held against him in a court of law. He has to go to court on, I believe, tomorrow. So he makes his first appearance in front of the judge tomorrow. Then, obviously, it's going to take a while.
Hope he has a kayak to get there.
Yeah, he's going to have to take a kayak to court, and then he's going to have to hire a lawyer. He probably already has tonight, that will defend his case. Of course, he'll plead not guilty because he didn't do anything. He didn't do the blood test. He didn't do the breathalyzer. He didn't do anything. He failed the field sobriety, and then they arrested him and took him in. And I don't know when he got out, but Harper will know the details. I know the story about him going to the owner's house to a party, but they're saying 7 hours later, they found him asleep in his car, like, you know, in White Plains, like just absolutely gassed. So what a story. The Mets, they can't get out of their own way. So we'll talk to him at coming up here in about 10 minutes. And then in a little over an hour and 20 minutes, we'll talk to Mike Palm, the vice president of Circa Sports in Las Vegas. We had him on Coast to Coast today. We'll talk to him again about the Circa Millions and Circa Survivor contests, which are gigantic. And everybody needs to, you know, get involved in that. Go to Vegas, sign up. You can play from anywhere, but you got to get to Vegas to sign up. And then you can use a proxy for everything else, no problem, from anywhere. You can do that. So we'll get into that with Mike Palm later. Hopefully we'll get the show in based on the weather that we're dealing with here in New York City. I don't even know, like, when is this supposed to end, Mafia? At like 3 or 4 in the morning? Is that what they're saying? Because it's not anytime soon. It's several hours away. I mean, they're talking like 5 more hours of this, right?
Yeah, somewhere between, I think, 3 and 5 a.m. is where it's, you know, it's supposed to be the sweet spot where it moves out.
And then what's it going to hit, Boston?
I assume so. They usually, you know, treks right up the coast there. It might blow out a little bit, but the way that things have gone lately, I'm sure it's going to hit them. We'll see if maybe it picks up some more steam back over the ocean or if they get the remnants. But either way, we were supposed to get remnants and kicking our ass a little bit here, so... Like you said, the ones that come up the coast, we get from Florida, then we get ones that come in from the Gulf Coast. It doesn't matter what border, or, you know, body of water they start in. Somehow they end up here and then end up going up, you know, New England as well.
I hope they get it worse than us. I'm just saying. Based on, I don't like any of their teams. So I hope they get way worse than us. I hope we get, because we're going to get, like, I think they're saying 2 or 3. Like, what are they saying? Like, at least of 2 feet of rain? Is that what they're saying? I mean, that's crazy. I hope they get 5. I hope it strengthens when it leaves New York City and that it hits the Red Sox team facility and that everyone that doesn't have COVID on the team will get it, because the half the team has it now. I'm hoping that Ida gives the remaining Red Sox players COVID based on the flooding and the hurricane. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. Anyway, it's bad enough, right? So I'm watching this game. It's like 27-0. And it really is like, I mean, could it be any worse? Like, I don't even care if I get the game right or wrong. Is it not like the worst game you've ever seen in your life on television? How did that game? I mean, I would have rather watched axe throwing on TV than UAB playing Jacksonville State. I mean, honestly, it is so boring. I'm like sitting here looking at it. I want to gouge my eyes out. I mean,
yeah, can you get back that IMG Academy game from Sunday?
Yeah, like that one against the fake school. 58-0.
This one is so far.
Yeah, I don't watch high school football games on television. I don't care who's playing. I just don't. I don't have time. I'm too busy with you betting on big games to worry about high school games. I'm sorry, I forgot. Now the high school players are making $1 million each. I can't keep up with all the NIL payouts to high school kids. I can't believe they gave that kid Ewers $1.5 million in Columbus. And he's like not even going to play. But they're already going to give him $1.5 million to sign autographs. I've seen it all. I really have. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Wait till you see what happens with these top-ranked schools and these football players and basketball players at the best programs. I mean, they're going to make a fortune. You think they got paid a lot under the table by boosters. Wait till you see what happens now that it's legal. I mean, it's going to blow your mind. Why go to college other than to go get the money? Because who needs to go to class when someone's giving you $2 million, $4 million, $10 million? Trust me, there's going to be players making it before you can spit. They're already paying players $1.5 million. They're already paying them more than that. What do you think they're going to do with the best players? They're going to give them even more money. Who needs to go to class when you got that kind of money in the bank? Or that much money to party? I mean, it's going to be crazy. You think hot tubs with champagne? Get ready. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, we're on a bench. Time for a little harp. Mavi is pouring freshies. John Harper of SNY TV in New York joins us on the mahogany. John, good to have you back on the bench. Let me ask you, I got to tell you this. Oh, by the way, the kid from UAB missed the field goal. It looked good on TV, but I guess it was short. And then they showed him on the bench. He looked like he was going to start crying. He like literally sat by himself with no friends. The entire team stood away from him like 30 yards away. And the guy was the loneliest guy in the world. And I did not feel bad for him at all. I just wanted to say that because this is the worst game I've ever seen in my life on television. Mavia says the high school game the other day was worse. I believe him. Anyway, John, let's talk about Zach Scott's career ending. When he goes to court tomorrow and then pleads not guilty, and then his lawyer tries to get him off on this DUI where they found him allegedly 7 hours after he left Cohen's estate at that Mets charity party. I mean, tell me this story isn't accurate that he went off. Carver Hodge said it best today. He said he made a little pit stop on the way home. And I guess he chunked off 7 hours. He must have had about 6.5 of drinking because he passed out in the 7th hour in his car. And that's when he got nailed.
Yeah. Hey, Scotty. How are you? Good news around the Mets, isn't it? You know?
Right.
It's unbelievable. It's just one thing after another. They just managed to survive this dopey thumbs down thing between Baez and Lindor and all that. Win a doubleheader, and now the acting GM gets his DUI. Who knows what he was doing? Yeah, 7 hours after that charity thing at the owner's house. I don't think anybody's figured out exactly where he was, but. It's a bad look, and I really think Steve Cohen was going to clean house anyway. I tweeted about that earlier, because this season has not gone the way he wanted. Sandy Alderson's hires have not gone well. Going back to Mickey Callaway, to Jared Porter, to this guy Zach Scott. So I think Steve Cohen is going to clean house on the baseball operations side, and find a whole new team there. But don't forget, it was only a week or so ago that he tweeted about how unhappy he was with the offense and said good teams have more disciplined approach. Well, they had just traded a week prior to that for one of the most undisciplined hitters in the big leagues, in Javi Baez. So there's a little bit of a disconnect there anyway. But the bottom line is, look, Steve Cohen, the guy is as successful a businessman as there is in the country. I'm sure he's got a ruthless side to the way he conducts business. So I think we're going to see him take action here after kind of feeling his way through the first year.
Well, I mean, so that means everybody. Alderson's got to go too, because he made all the bad decisions, right?
Yeah, I think he was only really supposed to be brought. I think he was brought in here as kind of a conduit to Cohen's taking over and helping kind of grease the skids with the other owners to make sure that Cohen got approved by the other owners. And he was really supposed to be more of a team president in charge of the business side. They were going to hire a president of baseball operations and then a GM, but they couldn't, they were kind of stunned to find that they weren't getting the best candidates for it. Didn't want to come to New York and work for, I think there was a lot of mystery about working for Steve Cohen. And so they couldn't find the right guy. And then then the two guys they hired, Jared Porter and now Scott, both, Porter was let go because of the whole texting, sexting thing, whatever it was. And now you got Scott, who obviously is not going to survive this. So, yeah, it looks bad. I think Sandy might survive maybe on the business side, but I don't think he's going to have anything to do with baseball operations.
I got to tell you, I mean, let's just get this over with right here and now. He's got to go. I mean, it has passed him by. The days of him being some great, shrewd baseball executive are clearly over. I mean, what more proof do you need than some of his decisions that he's made with this team? The first guy ends up, let's go through all three of them. Callaway's a pervert. Porter's a pervert. I mean, let's just get down to it, right? They both got tossed for sexual harassment, right?
Yeah.
And just massive, dirty performances in the organization, in the clubhouse, in the front office, at work, with women, with reporters. I mean, just the freakiest stuff you've ever heard. That was the end of them. And then he brings this tool in as the interim, and he gets a Dewey at 7 in the morning passed out in his car. I mean, it's got to bounce back to somebody. And it's got to bounce back to him. It's that simple. Now,
don't forget, Scotty, don't forget, he really wanted Trevor Bauer, too. Imagine if they had gotten Trevor Bauer. If Bauer had taken their money instead of the Dodgers' money, that would be another strike against him.
Oh, my God. Well, I can't even begin to start talking about that guy yet with you. Thank God I got two segments. Let's just stay on the Mets for a second. I have to tell you that I think Rojas is fired too, because, I mean, in not so many words, he sucks. Okay, so he's not a big league manager. That's that. And then I cannot believe.
I would dispute that somewhat. I don't think he's going to survive, but I think he has a lot of good characteristics. I think he has looked in over his head lately, especially with some of the stuff that players are pulling, and it looked like he didn't know what was going on. But I think he's got a solid way of handling games, but go ahead. I understand your point.
Well, I agree with you on about 98% of the stuff we talk about over the last 20 years together. So it's fair enough that I think nothing of the Mets manager, and I can go to bed, and I'll sleep pretty well tonight with my opinion of him. And I respect yours as well. So let's move on to Baez and Lindor. A, they gave Lindor just boatloads of money. They gave him years. I mean, the guy's going to be an old man when he's done playing with the Mets. He'll be finished. and then Baez, he's not going to last here because I don't believe a word that comes out of his mouth. I mean, how phony was his excuse and his rambling interview that he did about the thumbs down, when everyone that has even half a brain, the Tin Man, in The Wizard of Oz, even the Tin Man knew he was lying. I mean, this guy's saying, we weren't trying to disrespect anybody. We're sorry. We apologize. We just want to put it behind us. That is the biggest load of shack I've ever heard in my life, because this guy has done it before. He's done it again, and he does not respect fans. He does not respect the media. All he respects is money and himself. And then he got his stupid friend, and that's exactly what Lindor is. I won't say he's stupid about making a ton of money. His agent did that. I think he's stupid that he fell for the, you know, the teammates' little ruse, the plan to turn on the fans. And then Pilar and the rest of them were all in on it too. How stupid are these players? And then their excuse, Baez's interview to me was the most laughable thing I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, although I will say this, I think Lindor, I think there's a good chance he was at the root of all this, because he's the guy that's been complaining about the booing since day one. Not since day one, but since it started. The Mets fans gave him a little rope. They got on him pretty early, but they gave him some rope early on. But he's been complaining, saying, you know, how much it bothers him. And then the video has kind of surfaced where you see Baez get the second on a couple of plays, a hustle double one time, and the camera cuts to the dugout, and you see Lindor being the one to kind of encourage him, hey, do the thumbs down, do the thumbs down. So I get the feeling Lindor had a lot to do with this. Don't forget, Lindor apparently has Steve Cohen's ear and kind of talked the owner into making this deal for Baez. And Lindor is the problem here. Baez is going to be gone. There's no doubt about it. They're not signing him. He's not getting big bucks to play second base next to Lindor. But I think Lindor's the problem. He took the big money. I don't think he knew what he was getting into in New York. And now he's really offended. He's been offended and overly sensitive about the boost, everything else. He's got another 10 years to go. Meanwhile, he hasn't done a thing as far as the offense on the field. So he's got nothing to complain about. The most ridiculous part of this is these guys are making a stand about the booing after their team just collapsed in the month of August. They don't have a leg to stand on. And you got to be more of a professional, especially in New York. So somebody's got to get to Lindor, and I think it's got to be the owner and make him understand, hey, you took the money. You got to be a leader here and be a big boy here and handle this stuff the way you're supposed to handle it.
They lost 80% of their games. They deserve to be booed. I have to say, and I know they're great announcers. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you my opinion of it. And then when we come back, I'm going to get your reaction because we got a break. So my opinion of the announcers were, I thought it was a great call by Gary or whatever. I think he was calling the game, right? And he was doing
yesterday,
it with Darling and Keith, right?
The video that showed of them in the booth?
Yeah, like that was Gary calling the play-by-play, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so what he did was, I thought he called a great play. It was very exciting. 5-star performance. I thought he was fantastic. But then I was totally skeeved by the fact that he was like, you know, whatever he said, turn the thumbs around, forget all about it. Let's just, you know, celebrate the win. And it never happened. And I'm like, bro, you're a cheese ball. I mean, honestly, how do you not ride these players? And they're making so much money. We'll come back with Harp.
Every day, sports happens.
It never stops.
And neither do we. Get the expert perspectives you need. Strategies and vital information you won't get anywhere else. You're listening to the home of the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, we're talking to John Harper of SNY TV in New York, and Harp's always one of my all-time favorite guests on the show through the years. Just the coolest guy ever, and he would appreciate this. Now, listen, I went to Philly to see the Phillies play the Diamondbacks with, like, on Saturday night. It was a father-son trip. All these kids went with their dads, and my wife told me if I didn't go, because I've never gone on it. They've gone like 5 or 6 years in a row, these kids. And I never went because I'm super busy. And on Saturdays I play basketball and Sundays I play basketball and I play, you know, competitively. And I'm, you know, that's what I do. And I don't go on little kids trips. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not that guy. I'm like, here's a bunch of money. Have fun. I don't really hang out with these dudes, but you have a good time. So anyway, I went, and I went to the game. It was freezing, 69. It was drizzling, windy, cold. I couldn't even have an ice cream. So I'm at the game, and this guy I'm with, I'm sitting five rows behind home plate in the expensive seats. I mean, we had it all going, Harp. I mean, I'm like living large, sitting right in a Diamond Club, right behind home plate. I'm watching Harper play, the whole deal. And the kid I'm with, he's a sharp. He's like a big-time bettor, right? And he means business. I'm talking fat money. And this guy, I'm sitting there talking to him, and he says, yeah, like in Philly, because he goes all the time to Philly and Pittsburgh so he can do betting in Pennsylvania, right? And we're sitting at the game, and he's telling me about this Herrera guy. Is that his name, the leadoff hitter for the Phillies? Is that the guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, you know about him. Everybody, yeah, everybody knows about him. He's the guy that beat his wife. And he told me that when he came back into the Phillies lineup, they booed this guy vociferously like no one ever in Philly. Like, they abused this guy until he was ready to jump off the Ben Franklin Bridge. And I'm sitting there going, wow, this is a great story. And then all of a sudden, this guy rakes like a home run. And then his next time up, he rakes like a double into the gap. And I mean, they were cheering this guy like he was a Jesus Christ superstar. And my point is that fans were cheering Baez as he slid home in the five inning, ninth inning. And it's amazing to me that Gary, who I respect and think he's great, I think that's one of the best booths in baseball announcer wise. I just can't believe that. Let's forget everything. The Mets won. Who cares if Baez is telling the fans to F off and, you know, screw you to the fans of the Mets. Now he's our hero because he slid home on an error by the left fielder in a bad play, and he made it home and they won the game as if nothing happened. I just don't dig that, John. I don't dig that. Like, I mean, yeah, no, do the guy. You know me. I'm going to do him until he's done, like until he's well done.
I understand. You know how fans are. Fans just want to win. It's why they were chanting his name even before in the ninth inning, even before he got the hit and scored the run, because they wanted to win. And look, Gary's a pro, no doubt about it. But he also basically makes no secret of the fact he's been a lifelong Mets fan, grew up going to games, upper deck, and all that stuff. So I think that's what came out. And I didn't really like that either. Turn the thumbs around thing. I mean, those guys do what they did, and give them credit for coming through in that situation. But that doesn't forgive them for me, you know, for kind of turning that thing into a circus the way they did. So, I mean, everybody's going to have their opinion about it. And fans, you know, fans are always going to forgive the players. We've seen it a million times over the years, drugs, whatever, even domestic abuse. If a player can help a team win, that's really all fans care about. But, and in this case, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the crime of all crimes what they did. It was just silly. It was stupid. I mean, it was being unprofessional, immature. And that's the lack of leadership has been a problem in that clubhouse that's shown up from time to time. And I think has probably hurt this team this year.
So let's talk about Bauer for a couple minutes, because I have to get your opinion. You and I talked about this guy when it first started, because you come on the show a lot, and I respect you all the time doing it, and greatly, you know, and I mean that. But you and I talked about this guy when it started, right? So here he is now, with his like 12th extension on his, the commissioner said, you're not playing baseball right now until we figure this out. And now, you know, he's been, in the hearing for the, in front of the judge for the protection order, he was, you know, he won that basically. She was denied the protection order. And you remember what the judge said, so I'll save everyone a lot of time. And when that happened, I felt like I started leaning toward he's probably going to win the case in court as well. If it turns, you know, criminal and the police in Pasadena charge him, which they never have. So if it's been as long as it's been, they're not, in my opinion, they're not charging him. I mean, what are they waiting for? Are they waiting for someone to figure out who killed Nicole Brown Simpson and her partner? What are they waiting for? Because they're not going to charge him. And then let's say he gets off scot-free on that. what is baseball going to do to him? Because a lot of people think that he's never going to pitch for the Dodgers again.
Yeah, I mean, baseball, they obviously have some serious reservations about the whole thing, or they could, because as you said, he kind of won that small victory, at least gave you the indication that maybe this thing isn't going anywhere, and MLB could have reinstated him if they wanted to. They're doing their own investigation, or at least they're going to. I have a feeling they're just trying to push this off, because I would think they've had communication with the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have pretty much let it be known they really don't want him back anyway. That's my feeling. I don't know that for sure, but just kind of feeling, I guess, especially since they've acquired Scherzer, they don't really need him. And kind of push it off to the end of the season and then have this play out one way or another, and they can do their own investigation. But it's clear that they have some issues with the whole thing, regardless of how it turns out in terms of being charged.
Do you think that do they have to get – I'm assuming they have to give him all that money, $102 million, no matter what, he's getting that money. Is that about right?
Well, he's on administrative leave. He's being paid as of now. The Dodgers could try to void the contract based on, you know, whatever clauses are in the contract, moral clauses or whatever. There are clauses in there that they could try and void the contract, but I would think – He would have to be charged with a crime, and right, maybe found guilty in some respects. I mean, there's a lot of legalese in there that I wouldn't know how it would go. But they do have an avenue to pursue that if he is ever charged or found guilty of something.
Well, if he's found guilty by the Pasadena police and they charge him, then they got a case. But if he's found to be not charged with anything, and he's already won the hearing, and let's say doesn't have to face a criminal trial or a jury, and he doesn't have to go to court because they toss it.
Yeah, they
got to
pay him.
What are they going to do? Like, they can't not charge him and then take him to court for what? So he's going to get off. But baseball seems to be running their own court, and they're going to do their own investigation, and they're going to suspend him long term. And I frankly don't believe that baseball, if they suspend him long-term, can win a case against the players' union suing baseball for that contract, because all the contracts are guaranteed in baseball.
Right, right. Yeah, if they were to suspend him, say, as they did A-Rod, suspend him without pay for a year, you'd have to be prepared for a legal fight from somebody, like Players Association, Bowers, lawyers, whatever. Because the Players Association wouldn't go for that. So then it would come back to, well, what kind of evidence, what kind of proof there is. And at that point, it would end up in court one way or another, I guess, regardless of whether he's charged criminally.
So the Dodgers are going to catch the Giants, aren't they? I mean, I'm watching them right now. They're up 1-0 on the Braves, and the Giants are melting. Cueto went on the IL today. They've had nothing but problems with the Brewers. I mean, the Brewers have kicked their ass. Woodruff and Burns kicked their ass.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote about that today, that it looks like the Dodgers, they're just going to, over 162 games, they just have too much talent. The Giants have been a great story, but you're starting to see some cracks there. They just won 5 out of 6 against the Mets, and they play a great team game. They do all the little things right defensively, on the bases, all that stuff. But they can't match up talent for talent with the Dodgers. And I think, that trade of Scherzer, getting Scherzer and Trey Turner. What the heck were the Nats doing trading Trey Turner? He had another year. It's not like he was going to be a free agent. I know they got a couple of decent prospects, but man, I mean, they just gifted the Dodgers, I think, another championship in some ways.
Yeah, and Barnes just hit a home run. It's 2-0 Dodgers. I got to tell you, I thought the Trey Turner thing was huge, and the Nats are left with Soto and then an absolutely naked team. And I guess my question is, the Phillies got really hot. The Braves are cracking all of a sudden. They lost Acuna a long time ago. Then Albies hurts his knee the other night. They're getting beat up on the West Coast, and the Phillies are charging. The Cardinals are making noise. The Reds finally won the second half of that doubleheader today. They're melting a little bit. I mean, who wins it? The Reds, the Padres, or the Cardinals, or the Phillies?
Yeah, it's well, the Phillies, I can't trust the Phillies, although they do have the easiest schedule. They have a ridiculously easy schedule in this month in September. And you know what? This more than ever this year, the schedule matters because there's such a difference between the haves and the have-nots. And some of these teams like the Cubs and the Nationals gave away everybody. They're complete rollovers. Same with the Orioles. So the schedule really matters. In September, the Phillies have an easy one. The Braves, easier than the Mets. So and you're seeing it, though. I mean, the Mets just went through the Giants and Dodgers, won and lost, 11 out of 13 games? No, yeah, 11 out of 13. While the Braves are winning 9 straight against the Orioles, Nationals, and Marlins. So a lot does depend on the schedule. I still think the Braves are going to find a way to get through it and win the division. That wild card, though, I mean, we talked about it earlier. I picked the Padres to win the wild card, but win it all, because I thought their pitching would be good enough, but they've fallen apart completely. So I don't know. I kind of like the Reds. I mean, they're kind of a fun team, especially offensively. They score a lot of runs. Their pitching's been better, at least in the second half. I kind of like to see them sneak through at this point.
What'd you think of? I got 1 minute. What'd you think of Cole tonight?
Man, what a stud! He comes off after the sixth inning. I mean, look, they won their 13 in a row, but then they've lost 4 in a row. Hey, man, you're the stopper. You're the ace. He comes off the sixth inning at 100 pitches, 101, whatever it was, and tells, and you can see him tell Boone, I'm not done. I'm going back out there. He goes back out, throws 116, 15 Ks, no walks, gives up one run, and they stop the losing streak. That guy, he's worth the money to me, man. I know he's had some issues after the spider attack and all that stuff, but it looks like he's figured it out. He's been really good since he came back from COVID. To me, he's the guy, you know, I'd want on the mound over just about anybody right now in the big league, especially, I mean, considering DeGrom is out for who knows how long.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I think he's taking the lead. Lynn's gone on the IL. I think he's taking the lead for the Cy Young again in the AL. John, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for coming on the bench. Enjoy baseball. We'll be in touch again soon.
Okay, thanks, Scotty. Anytime.
All right, John Harper of SNY on the bench. Problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
David Lee Roth declined an offer to join Motley Crue's stadium tour. I declined to watch Vince Neil sing with Motley Crue anymore. Former NHL goalie Pete Peters catches an 11-foot-long white sturgeon. Jesus Christ. Pete Peters, I remember him. Metallica's Black and Whiskey launches the Masters of Whiskey series. It's great for the guys that have been in and out of rehab 9 times to start their own whiskey label. I mean, James and that booze aren't exactly best friends. Gene Simmons gets COVID. Former Colts quarterback Art Schleister released from prison after 30 years living in Ohio on parole. Bet you're glad he's your neighbor. Underwear worn by Michael Jordan going to be sold at auction. Joe Rogan discloses he got COVID, and part of the treatment he claims he had is a horse dewormer. What is going on there? I guess that's what your 100 mil will get you. A little horse medicine tranquilizer. Russian KHL team drops cheerleaders after the players' wives got jealous. Man urinates on a Dairy Queen counter due to the mask policy. I'll take a blizzard, and how do you like these apples? Florida diner owner tells Biden supporters to eat somewhere else. Great idea, dude. Send people somewhere else to eat. Peacock's Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reboots cast with Jabari Banks, whoever that is. Supreme Court allows Texas 6-week abortion ban to take effect. Now this guy down there, Abbott, is banning abortions. I mean, what a governor they got down there. USA Gymnastics proposes $425 million for hundreds of Larry Nassar abuse survivors. You mean the girls that he raped? Give them millions, right? Tarzana couple who stole $18 million, now on the road as fugitives. Woman makes PowerPoint presentation to show her parents that she's a stripper. You go, girl. Bonnaroo canceled due to flooding. and a woman dumps a backpack with suspected human remains off at the Walmart. Gotta love that, Carver High, when you drop off the arms and legs and torso in a backpack.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.